This audio is brought to you by MuslimCentral.com.
Bismillahirrahmanirrahim. Alhamdulillahi Rabbil Alameen. Wa sallallahu wa sallama ala nabiyyina Muhammad wa ala alihi wa sahbihi ajma'in. Qala al-muallifu rahimahullah wa an ibn Mas'ud radiyallahu ta'ala anhu qala Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam idha kuntum thalathan fala yatanada thnani duna al-akhar hatta takhtalitu bin nas من أجل أن ذلك يحزن متفق عليه واللفظ لمسلم narrated Ibn Mas'ud radiyallahu ta'ala anhu Allah's Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said when three of you are together two must not talk privately ignoring the other till you mix with other people since that will cause him grief agreed upon and the wording is Muslims
Bismillah alhamdulillah salatu wassalamu ala rasulillah wa ala alihi wa sahbihi wa man wala wa ba'd. The hadith of today, hadith ibn Mas'ud radiallahu anhu, where he's talking about one of the etiquettes of gathering. And we said now it's all about social interaction. And this hadith, hadith fit tanaji, where the Prophet ﷺ said, إِذَا كُنْتُمْ ثَلَاثَةً when three of you get together in a company, two of you must not talk privately while isolating the third. So as not to make him feel sad that he's left out. Till you mingle with other people, yani became large, more than three, so that person will not be by himself isolated, he have someone else to talk to. And he said this wording from Muslim. And as we said, he started with the etiquettes, the rights of Muslim upon one another. And now he's talking in details about the interaction between Muslims. When we start talking, visiting, and being with each other, there are certain etiquettes we have to take in consideration. And this is one of it. من أجل أن ذلك يحزنه, this addition. So, in the end of the hadith it says, basically, it make him feel sad. He said that this is the wording of Muslim. According to the copies of Muslim we have now in our hand, it's not. And if you look to the print of Sahih Muslim today, it's not. Yeah, if you can keep him on the side because of the camera and the recording, that's why, I guess, people. Yeah, it's okay. Yeah, I know. The camera. So according to the copy of Muslim we have, we don't have that edition. We have another narration, Sahih Muslim. إِن كُنْتُمْ ثَلَاثَ فَلَا يَتَنَاجَ ثِنَانَ دُونَ صَاحِبْهُمَا فَإِنَّ ذَلِكَ يُحْزِنُهُ. Very close in the Muslim. If you are three, two of you should not privately conversate without the third one, because that might make that person sad. This hadith Abdullah ibn Mas'ud radiallahu anhu. Abdullah ibn Mas'ud ibn Ghafil ibn Habib ibn Shamkh ibn Far ibn Makhzum ibn Sahira ibn Kahil ibn al-Harith ibn Tamim ibn Sa'd ibn Hudayl ibn Mudrikat ibn Ilyas ibn Mudar ibn Nizar. That's a long name, which is basically you can keep going all the way to Ismail, to Ibrahim alayhi salam, of lineage of this great companion, the great Imam, the Faqih of the Ummah, Abu Abdul Rahman. He's Hudali from a tribe called Hudayl. He's Makki, he's Muhajir, he's Badri. And he is Halifu Bani Zuhra, among the earliest Muslim who accepted Islam, among the most intelligent scholars among the companions. He witnessed the Badr, he witnessed the first hijrah to Abyssinia, Shahid al-Hijratain, and the second one to Medina. And he was in the day of al-Yarmouk, among the leaders in the battles. مناقبه غزيرة روى علما كثيرا. He narrated so many ahadith and have many virtues رضي الله عنه وأرضاه. He has in البخاري ومسلم 64 hadith. البخاري reported 21 and Muslim reported 35 of them. He narrated many thousands of narrations, radiallahu anhu arda. He was very skinny. Abdullah ibn Saud was very skinny, to the extent when the wind comes, it knocks him down. And has a very, very skinny legs. And he can, when it the wind's a little bit heavy, he will fall on his back. That's why when he climbed the tree, the Sahaba laughed at his feet, legs, because they are so skinny. They laughed. He said, "You're laughing at his skinny legs?" He said, "Yeah, look, and it's so strange. How strange they are." He said, "Wallahi, innahuma la athqalu min jabali Uhud fil mizan yawm al-qiyamah." These skinny legs are heavier than the mountain of Uhud in the Day of Judgment. That man that you laughing at his legs. And kana shadidul udma, dark, very dark skin, very dark tan skin. Wa kana qasira, he's not a tall guy. Wa kana la yughayyiru shaybah. Sahaba in general, they dye their hair, gray hair. He didn't, radiallahu anhu arda'ah. Wa kana latifan fatina, intelligent, gentle, nice. Kana ma'dudan fi adhkiya' al-alam, yaqul al-dhahabi. Among the most intelligent people in the world, al-dhahabi, rahimahullah, said. Wa even though he's not a big guy, his legs skinny, but he had a tummy sticking out. Kana azim al-batn. As a tummy that stick out. Sa'id ibn Musayyib, he said, I saw him. And he known by his mother's name, Ibn Ummi Abd. Ibn Ummi Abd. Abdu bintu Abdu Wud ibn Sawi min Bani Zuhra. He, radiallahu anhu, said, An-Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam called me Abu Abdul Rahman before I even have a child. So the Nabi sallallahu give him that kunya. And he was a very generous man. Wa kana min ajwadi an-nasi thiyaban wa ahsanihim ra'ihatan wa tiba. He was known that his clothes are very neat and very clean, and he smells so good, radiallahu anhu wa arda'ah. And listen to first interacting with Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Qala inna awwala shay'in alimtuhu min amri rasulillahi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Qadimtu makkata ma'umumatun li aw unasun min qawmi nabta'u minha mata'a. I came with my people to Mecca to buy something. وَكَانَ فِي بُغْيَتِنَا شِرَاءُ عِطْرٍ. And we want to buy perfumes. You can tell, well, this is still a kid. So it's like runs in the family. We care for perfumes. فَأَرْشَدُونَ عَلَى الْعَبَّاسِ. So I went to Al-Abbas to buy from him perfumes. قال العباس, who's العباس? عَمُّ النَّبِي صلى الله عليه وسلم, the Prophet's uncle. فَانْتَهَيْنَا إِلَيْهُ هُوَ جَالِسٌ إِلَى زَمْزَمْ. He was sitting next to Zamzam. We sit with him, and while we are talking, فَأَقْبَلَ رَجُلٌ مِّن بَابِ الصَّفَى. While we're talking to him, a man came from a Safa side. If you've been to Mecca, if you're around Zamzam, basically, if you give your back to the Kaaba, you're going to face Safa, or Kaaba on your right-hand side. The Safa is right in front of you. He said, a man came from the door of a Safa. أبيض تعلوه حمرة وله وفرة جعدة. He said he's very fair skin and reddish a little bit and hair وفرة, يعني hair. He had a lot of hair on his head. جعدة is not very, it's wavy hair. And he said إلى أنصاف أذنيه, cover basically half of his ear with this hair on his head. أشم أقنى أذلف أدعج العينين براق الثنايا دقيق المسربة. He described the man He's still young, but she's very taken by the look. Ashamun aqna. Ya'ani, he is straight. His back straight. His nose is straight and a little bit hook. Okay? Aqna al-anf. It's not flat and it's not too big. It's like kind of skinny and stands out. And he said, Ad'ajul aynayn. Basically, it's white and dark black inside. Stands out, you can tell very clearly, big eyes. Da'ajul ayn, big eyes. And a lot of white, and the black is so clear, it's pitch black. Barraq al-thanaya, his teeth like pearl, shining from a distance. Daqiq al-masrabah, yanish al-masrabah. He has hair in his chest, but his hair and chest is not too much. He has just a line. المسربة هو خط من الشعر من أعلى الصدر إلى السرة. His line of hair goes from the chest all the way to his belly button. And that line of hair is not too much and is straight. The Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi did not have hair on his chest and his body. He has a little bit of hair on his shoulder, but the hair in his body was only a line like this, goes down. Sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Shathinu al-kaffayn wal-qadamayn. He has a big hand. It's not small, tiny feet or hand. Kathu al-lihya. His beard is a lot. And ka'annahu al-qamaru laylatu al-badr. Sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. He said, looked like the full moon. يمشي على يمينه غلام حسن الوجه مراهق أو محتلم. On his right hand side, a young man walked with him. I'm not sure if he reached the age of puberty or not. Someone like Khalid, someone like Yusuf, like, you know, I don't know. He's just a young man. And he said, وتقفوه من امرأة قد سترت محاسنها. يا سلام. And with them, a woman covered her beauty. And she is not exposing her chest. You can tell, like, you know, her. She's not wearing short clothes, tight clothes. No, she's like modest. حَتَّى قَصَدَ نَحْوَ الْحِجْرِ. He went to the Al-Ka'ba. He touched Al-Ka'ba. The boy did it. The woman did it. And he made tawaf and he kept watching him. 7 times. Until now, he doesn't know who that person is. Nor the woman, nor the boy. He doesn't know them. They made tawaf 7 times. Then he was at one of the corner. رَفَعَ يَدَيْهِ فَكَبَّرْ وَرَكَعَ وَسَجَدْ فَرَأَيْنَا شَيْئًا أَنْكَرْنَاهُ لَا نَعْرِفُهُ. The way he prayed, something was strange we never saw before in Mecca. Then we said, Ya al-Abbas, Ya Abu al-Fadl. Who's that? Is this the new religion that appeared in you? He said, you didn't know who that is? They said, no, we don't. Then he said, Hadha ibn Akhi, this is my nephew, Muhammad ibn Abdullah, and that's Ali ibn Abi Talib, and that's Khadija, his wife. أما وعلى وجه الأرض أحد نعلمه يعبد الله بهذا الدين إلا هؤلاء الثلاثة. He said, Al-Abbas said, I don't know anyone on the face of this earth worship Allah this way except these three. And soon after that, النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم met Ibn Mas'ud while Ibn Mas'ud was taking care of herds, and he said, give me a sheep. He said, I can give it to you because I'm trusted with the sheep. I cannot give you from its milk. I cannot give you from its meat. He said, give me a sheep who has no milk. A sheep who did not even get pregnant yet. A baby one. Like a one who never like had a baby. Or did, yani, because now have a baby, there is no milk. مَانَزَ عَلَيْهَا الْفَحْلْ بَعْدْ. What do you want with it? He said, to bring it. He brought it, and the Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam wiped over the where the milk is, الضُرْعِ. You know, where the milk is, utter, the utter. And Ibn Mas'ud said, all of a sudden, It was filled with milk. Ibn Mas'ud got like, wow, this is like unbelievable. And he milked it, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. He drank from it. He gave it to Abu Bakr. And he gave it to Ibn Mas'ud. And that was something he basically couldn't understand. And after he finished, he told the other, go back. Then it went back like what it was. I came to him and he said, can you teach me what you just did? What these words that you said? Okay? And he said, he wiped over my head and he said, don't worry. You are a learned young man. قَالَ أَنْتَ غُلَامٌ مُعَلَّمٌ. See how he put confidence in this young boy. And he said, after that I went and I became Muslim and I came to him. That's why Ibn Mas'ud was said he was the sixth person to become Muslim. And some said he became Muslim after 20 people, like he was number 23 or something like that. And by the way, he became Muslim before the Muslim started Dar al-Arqam in Mecca. And in a very early stage, he became Muslim, radiallahu anhu wa arda. Anyway, we go back to the hadith, but I just want to, I love Ibn Mas'ud, and I think his life story is an amazing story to be told at one day, radiallahu anhu wa arda. Going back to the hadith, he said, فَلَا يَتَنَاجَ, do not conversate on private. Because التناجي in Arabic language هو الكلام بصوت منخفض. What's the opposite of مناجات؟ إيش عكس المناجات في اللغة؟ منادات. مناجاة منادات. مناجاة you conversate softly. نادا it means out loud. Okay.
وَنَادَيْنَاهُ مِنْ جَانِبِ الطُّورِ الْأَيْمَنِ وَقَرَّبْنَاهُ نَجِيًّا.
شوف كيف القرآن. وَنَادَيْنَاهُ مِنْ جَانِبِ الطُّورِ. We called upon him when he was at الطور, that mountain of Sinai. وَقَرَّبْنَاهُ, when he became near me, نَجِيًّا, يعني ناجيناه. لما في داعي الرفع الصوت. So when he came near to what the place Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala wanted him to be, the conversation became private. So Allah differentiated between nada wa naja. When he was far, still on the mountain, very far away, was nida, called. And that's why in the Day of Judgment, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said about the kuffar that they will be yunadawn. That they will be called, يفضحون. تناديهم الملائكة. They call upon them with out loud, so they expose them. So, المناجات, it means a private conversation. So these two, they conversate privately, and the third one can't hear. سؤال, why the Prophet said three? ليش قال النبي ثلاثة? We understand الثلاثة ليست مقصودة. يعني three is not meant for itself. قال العلماء لأنه أول عدد يتصور في هذا المعنى. Because three is the number, the minimum number that you can imagine the possibility of private conversation where someone is isolated. Because if you have four, maybe two and two. But if you have four, three talking privately and one is isolated, it's not allowed. You have 10, 9 talking privately, and one is isolated from the conversation, it's not allowed. But it was mentioned 3 because that's the minimum. دون الآخر, يعني basically isolating the third person. He said, until they mix with people, they intermingle with people. So that means there is many people, so that person will not be by left and by himself, he can go to someone else and talk to. من أجل أن ذلك يحزنه بضم الياء. It will make him upset or sad. Okay? Also, it could be pronounced another way. يحزنه. That's why one way. Another way تقول في لغة العرب أيضا يحزنه. يحزنه ويحزنه. Both. Okay. Because it makes the person upset and sad. الخطابي رحمه الله said, why would he be upset? Can you figure out, ليش تظنون, why the person would be upset? Why would you be upset if two talking privately and you are isolated from the conversation? Because one of thing, the shaitan can come to him and said, what? They're talking about you, or they're plotting against you, or they're making fun of you, especially laughing and smiling. Okay? What else? There's another reason also. He feels not worthy to be part of the conversation. He feels that he is not worthy. Al-Khattabi rahimahullah said, لا يحس بأن هناك في امتهان لكرامته. He feels like not been treated respectfully. It's a disrespect. Can you imagine we are in the house and me and him talking and this guy like left out? This is disrespect. طيب. So that's why he said يحزنه. He make him sad because of these two reasons. What we can learn from this hadith? Number one, this hadith is a very practical way of showing you the importance of be considerate of other people's feeling. And one of the first things we learn from this hadith, قضية مراعاة مشاعر الناس. Sometimes we don't care about other people's feelings. We don't care about how they feel, how we make them feel. So you raise your voice, you are loud, you are... you don't care, you're careless, you're like, sometimes we just don't pay attention to it. And this hadith shows us the importance of being considerate of other people's feelings. I remember one brother told me, Sheikh Waleed, you know what, I don't like to give you salam and conversate with you in front of the masjid. I said, Lee, khair shal, did I do anything bad to you? And he said, wait, like, قال لي مش عشان أنت, not because of you. I said, Ajal, for what? He said, Sheikh, it hurts me. Every time me and you outside, somebody comes, he gives you salam, Assalamualaikum, Sheikh Waleed, and he leaves. وكأني أنا لوح يعني قاعد جنبك. He said, as if I'm just a piece of wood يعني next to you. What about me? Assalamualaikum, and he leaves. And as if I'm not even exist in the world. And he said, it's really very upsetting. And I agree with that. And I start noticing that, actually. And it's not nice. You should care about other people's feeling, okay? Not to hurt them, not to insult them. Even though you might talk in privately, not about him. You don't mean any disrespect. But because that's what it looks like. That's what can lead to, and Islam said, don't do it. أيضاً العلماء قالوا التناجي private conversation, قالوا العلماء, this word is called تناجي, could be by words, talking, and sign language. Like we're like applying to each other's, we're like giving a sign to each other, and this person's like completely lost. That's also not allowed. سواء بالكلام أو بالفعل. Why? Because it makes the person feel the same thing. Isolated, make the shaitan think maybe they're talking about him, and so forth. التناجي الوارد في الحديث محكم وليس منسوخ. بعض أهل العلم قالوا أن هذا الحديث نسخ. هذا الحديث كان في أول عهد الإسلام. المنافقين كانوا يفعلونه. بس بعد ما ظهر عز الإسلام لا معنى له. هذا غلط. Some scholars said that this hadith has been abrogated. They said this hadith was talking about the early time in Islam where hypocrites used to talk and converse privately and they leave the Sahaba out to plot against Muslims. But later on, after Islam became strong, the Sahaba didn't care about this kind of private conversation. Okay? But I would say, they took this from what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, إِنَّمَا النَّجْوَى مِنَ الشَّيْطَانِ لِيَحْزُنَ الَّذِينَ آمَنُوا. Allah said in the Quran, النَّجْوَى, this private conversation, isolating someone out, is to from the shaitan to make your brother upset or sad. Okay? Some of the ulama said that this is Qatada said that was what the hypocrites used to do in regard to this verse. But I would say to limit the meaning of the verse only for this scenario is not correct. The verse is general, and the hadith is general. We cannot limit it only to the hypocrites or the hypocrites' time. That's number one. Number two, the illah, the reasoning why Allah forbade this is what? فَإِنَّ ذَٰلِكَ يُحْزِنُ. That will make him upset. Question, would that make you upset now? Absolutely. I feel disrespected. I will think bad, negative, my brothers. So if this is the case, it's haram. So al-illah, the reason, is not hypocrisy, is not the strength or the weakness of Islam. The illah is to make your brother feel bad. That's why Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, لِيَحْزُنَ الَّذِينَ آمَنُوا. So we make the Muslims upset. And no doubt, hurting your Muslim brothers is forbidden in Islam. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, والذين يؤذون المؤمنين والمؤمنات بغير ما اكتسبوا فقد احتملوا بهتانا وإثم مبينا. Allah said, those who hurt their Muslim brothers and sisters, they have earned a great deal of sin in Surah Al-Ahzab. That's why we say that this najwa is forbidden. It's not dislike. It is a sin to do it. التناجي هذا محرم إثم. مو مجرد بس مكارم الأخلاق. It's not just a recommended act or dislike. It's haram to do that. Somebody might say, but isn't Sheikh, we have a general rules we said before. Anything has to do with etiquettes, it should be recommended act, not must. Yes. Unless توجد قرينة. Unless there is something to indicate that it is haram or it is wajib. In the hadith. What's the indication here? The indication here that the Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said that that will make him what? Yahzun, upset. And that's from the shaitan. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala have told us that making your Muslim brother upset is not allowed and it is a sin. And it's idha, hurting his feeling. By the way, also I would like to mention something else. Some ulama said private conversations between two, excluding the third, allowed in traveling, but not in residency. They said because in traveling, you know, it's hard to have, yani, it happened that you and your friend talking, and I would say this is no proof for that at all. As a matter of fact, it is haram in traveling or residency. And that's what Ibn Umar radiallahu anhu said that Malik, al-Shafi'i, and the majority of the ulama who talk about this issue, it doesn't matter, traveling or not traveling, it is not allowed. And there is no proof to make exclusion for traveling and to say traveling, it's allowed. And I will take this and I tell you, as a matter of fact, when you travel and your friends in traveling do that to you while you're traveling, it hurts more than if you are living in your city. That's right? And if it's safar, al-idha ashad, fi nazari. If there were four, two talking together privately and two privately, is that okay? Yeah, it is okay. But nobody says, oh, they're talking about us. No. Al-ulama rahimahullah agree that this is okay. Sa'al ibn Umar radiallahu anhu. Sa'al ibn Umar radiallahu anhu. Abu Salih, he said, I told Ibn Umar, arba'a, qala la yadhurruk. Four people, it doesn't matter. So Ibn Umar said, four people, two and two, that's fine. طيب. النهي عن التناجي also التناجي, the reason why it's not allowed, because it make you upset. It opened the door for the shaitan. طيب, what if we know that this will not gonna make you upset? It will not hurt you. يعني, where is Azim al-Din? Okay. He is in the office. And me and Sheikh Ibrahim talk together in the, you know, next to him in the office.
He doesn't hear what we say. He will not feel upset because he understands that that's the nature of work. You see? Like you and your doctor. You're a doctor with his nurse. And maybe there is a patient. He's not going to be upset. He understands that this is the nature of work. So as long as we understand that this is how it works, it is allowed. Even if it's two on one. يعني Azad, I'm going to your home. Okay? And you're going to bring, mashallah, he just filleted that nice flounders and he's making for us fish, tacos. And he goes and he told his son something about the food. And I'm there. I don't hear what he's saying to his son. I will not feel bad because I know that this is the father, this is the son. They talk about private thing. You don't need to include me. You see, as long as we know that it's not going to hurt the person, it is permissible. Go ahead.
Allahu Akbar, Allahu Akbar. Allahu Akbar, Allahu Akbar. Ashhadu an la ilaha illallah. Ashhadu an la ilaha illallah. Ashhadu anna Muhammadar Rasulullah. Ashhadu anna Muhammadar Rasulullah. Hayya 'alas salah. Hayya 'alas salah. حي على الفلاح حي على الفلاح الله أكبر الله أكبر
One of the also the scenarios of making tanaji without the third person, two without the third, and it is permissible because it doesn't cause any harm if you take permission from him. I'm sorry, but I have a private conversation with him. I need to finish it. Okay, no problem. You see, that's fine. That's why in Hadith ibn Umar radiallahu anhu fi Musnad Ahmad. قال إذا كنتم ثلاثة فلا يتهاجر اثنان دون الثالث إلا بإذنه. If you're three, do not talk privately without his permission. In the narration of Musnad Ahmad. So if he give you permission, it is allowed. Also, العلماء رحمه الله give an example of a big gathering. Let's say we attending a gathering, عزاء, somebody passed away or wedding or like a big gathering. Okay? And we are sitting next to each other. And I talk to my friend here. Maybe there is someone in the couch or here. I don't have to include him in the conversation because it's a big gathering. You know, it's understood. Also, العلماء رحمه الله said, if the third person, someone who cannot understand, like a child, like a 3-4 years old, doesn't really understand. You know, he doesn't really care for you. What are you guys talking together? Majnoon, someone insane. You know, that's because he's not going to be upset. Al-huzn is not going to happen to that person. But if he's old enough, even if he's not reached the age of puberty, and he will feel disrespected and isolated, not allowed. Also, if there is need, like your servant, somebody work for you, your secretary walk in and talk to you privately, you don't want to share, you know, your information.
can imagine you have a business and you have to share your business information in front of the third person. Nobody will ever say that. Type, me and my wife went to buy land or to buy something from the store or a car. Then the salesperson with us, he gave us the offer. Then I said, okay, let me talk to my wife. He said, no, لا تناجثنا دون ثلاثهما. You know, I have to be part. No, yeah, I want to talk to my family. See? So you can imagine, it's, you have to take things to understand the illah, the reasoning, and you apply it. هذا الحديث also shows us that it is forbidden in Islam to intentionally harm your Muslim brother. Intentionally do anything to harm someone, even if this harm is psychological harm. So how, what you imagine of a physical harm? If it's haram to harm him or her psychologically, إذا نفسي فما بالك بالحسي, how about you take his money? How about you beat him up? How about you lock him up in jail? How about you torture them? How about you kill them? Yani, can you imagine the amount of sin that people accumulate? It is unbelievable. So that's why anything that will break him or make him upset or disrespected, you know, is not allowed. I give you an example. Sometimes we make fun of others in front of their friends. You make fun of your daughter in front of her friends, or your son in front of his friends, or you make fun of your brother in front of his friends. You make fun of other people to make them feel bad. That's not allowed. And it's haram and it's forbidden in Islam. Even if it's not in front of anybody. Can you imagine, يعني, your wife, you break her مسكين, تكسر خاطرها, يعني. You make her upset and feel bad. You know, this guy, his wife telling him, you know, how do you really like, you know, I look so beautiful, I look so nice. Didn't you really like my look and my beauty and my figure? He said, oh Allah, I like your good sense of humor. I said, that's the best you can do? Yeah, that's breaking her heart, miskin. These people, like, or she does the same thing. She break his heart. I am going to business. Oh, you're a loser. You can't do any business. You know, you're never going to do it. Just some people have no consideration for people's heart. And remember, words can be more harmful than hands. Your tongue can be more sharper than your hand. Also, one of the things that I want to say, ulama rahimahullah talk about, that no, you have to go over there. Go. Yeah, because the camera loses its focus when kids walk in front of it. That's okay.
Where are you?
Okay. Ulama also said that this etiquette is not only related to Muslims, Muslim and non-Muslim. So this is also applied to non-Muslims. So if there is non-Muslim in the gathering, the same etiquette, that because we have good manners with everybody. One of the things that we learn from this hadith, that you don't ever help the shaitan against your Muslim brother or your friends. Don't open the door for the shaitan to whisper to your friends or to your brother against you. Because why we said you're not allowed to make munajat? Is she still behind me? Yeah. Come and take her. Why we said no munajat? It's basically because you let the shaitan start whispering. Hey, he talk about you, he making fun of you, he's this, he's that. You see? So take from this hadith a general meaning. Don't take it to this. We learn from this hadith a concept bigger than the hadith itself, which is anything that you might do will lead the shaitan, give bad thoughts to your brothers, to close that door. And the best example of this, what? قول النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم إنها صفية. النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم making itikaf. He stayed late in the night. And his wife was talking with him in his private tent or space in the masjid. Two of the Sahaba came in the night. They saw the problem with this woman. They start walking fast. He said, hold on. This is Safiyyah. And Nabi Sallam was not worried about his reputation. He was worried about them, that the shaitan whispered to them any thoughts that make them, by these thoughts, kuffar. Because if you think ill of Muhammad Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, that's kuffar. So he cared about protecting them from the whisper of the shaitan. Can you imagine if we take this as a concept, that you don't put yourself in a position that where people will make ghibah for you. You try your best. Al-A'mash once, Ibrahim al-Nakhai told him, let's go out together. He said, Ana A'mash, blurry eye, wa anta a'war, you are one eyed. We go walk out, people will say, A'mash wa a'war. A blurry eyed, and a one eyed man together. What a combination. Then Ibrahim al-Nakhai said to him, Wama alayk, nu'jar wa ya'thamun. We'll get reward and they will be committing sins. Qal la, you leave alone by yourself, I will leave later after that. فَنَسْلَمْ وَيَسْلَمُونَ يَا سَلَامُ. We save ourselves and we save them from sinning. That's why sometimes you need to make things clear so you don't open the door for people to think and talk bad about you. Clarify yourself, yeah. Come forward and say, hey, by the way, I did this and just in case if you're wondering why. Don't let me make assumptions. You know, be straightforward. Hey, I did this, I established this, I started this for one, two, or three reasons. Don't let the shaitan play with my head and don't open this door for me. For your wife, for your relatives, for your co-workers, for your, basically, for your friends and for your people that will work with you. Also, this hadith said you don't do anything in the gathering that make the other person feel left out. صح؟ طيب, can somebody tell me today an example of things that we do make people left out? It's not as the haram, yes?
When people are talking together in native languages and other people don't understand them.
Very good. One of the form of tanaji is to speak in a different language. We speak in Arabic and he doesn't understand Arabic, the third person. We speak in Urdu, and she doesn't stand Urdu. And that's happened a lot, especially with sisters. And brothers as well. That's not right. Unless you take permission, or there is more than three. There's more than three, it's up to you. But also, one of the thing is, that today common in gathering, that I think it is also make people feel isolated, is gadgets. I'm talking to you, and you are on your Facebook, and your messages, and you're not paying attention to me at all. I'm talking to you and you're like, what's this? That's إذا كان التناجي من علته. One of the reason is for you not to be, to feel left out and disrespect and not being part of the conversation. Also, this kind of usage of daji today, isolating people in the gathering is not right. Or playing whatever games online and just ignoring people, that's not correct. One of the thing of, from this hadith we learn, that one of the goals of the shaitan is to make you feel bad. إِنَّمَا النَّجْوَى مِنَ الشَّيْطَانِ لِيَحْزُنَ الَّذِينَ آمَنُوا. One of the goals of the shaitan to make you upset. مَا ذُكِرُ الْحُزْنُ فِي الْقُرْآنِ إِلَّا مَذْمُومٌ. Sadness never mentioned in the Quran in any positive meaning. And it's absolutely nothing but negative. Because al-huzn is polarizing. paralyze you. It's tight your hand and make you unable to make anything. It just sad, depressed. While the Sharia wants al-rahmah, al-khayr, goodness, mercy, love, compassionate, caring. While the shaitan wants the opposite. So keep that in mind. Al-ulama rahimahullah said, at-tanaji is allowed, which is 2 verses 1. As I said earlier, if there is basically a permission been taken, if there is a greater maslaha, like judge, doctor, business, something like that, doctor talking to his nurse, taking to consulting before he speaks to the patient, that's fine. Talking to his patient in private, he doesn't want someone else to hear in the office, that's all okay. That hadith also shows that the importance of good manners in Islam. And what if somebody said, oh, he doesn't care? It's not about he cares or not, it's about you should have good manners. We should deal with people according to our standard, not to their standard even. We should have high standard and we treat people according to our standard. And I will tell you a very interesting story. Abdullah, I will end with it. Abdullah ibn Sarh, when the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam ahdara dama, Abdullah ibn Sarh, at one point he was very bad to the Prophet, to Muslim, to Islam. But the Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, kill him لو كان تحت أستار الكعبة. If you find him hiding under the curtain of al-Kaaba, kill him. Can you imagine the crime that he made? All of a sudden, Uthman ibn Affan radiallahu an, or Uthman came holding him. And he brought him to the Prophet. And the Sahaba was so tensely searching for him everywhere. And he said, Ya Rasulullah, he come to give you bay'ah, to submit himself to you. And Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam waited. Then he stretched his hand and he took his bay'ah. Sahaba in surprise, why the Prophet waited this long? Then the Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he said, yani Nabi sallam gave them a hint that he waited for someone to strike him before he actually reached to meet the Prophet and the Prophet come out to talk to him and give him the bay'ah. He was hoping one of the Sahaba will actually kill him before that. Then they said, Ya Rasulullah, مَا طَلَعْنَا عَلَى دَخِيرَةِ نَفْسِ. We didn't know that this is what you want. If you just give us a hint, يعني, أو مَأْتَ بِعَيْنِكَ, blink with your eyes, give us a message. فَقَالْ صَلَى اللَّهُ عَلَيْهِ وَسَلَّمْ إِنَّهُ لَا يَنْبَغِي لِلنَّبِيِّ أَنْ تَكُونَ لَهُ خَائِنَةَ الْأَعْيُنِ. There is no prophet will use, you know, sign or hand, or like body language to mislead or to deceive others. Okay, and this hadith is from Abi Dawood, and it is a famous hadith. And the reason the Prophet waited a little bit, because this man is not Muslim yet, he didn't even know if this has come to give bay'ah because he want to protect himself, he's really want Islam or not. And there is more detail to the story of this man, why did he deserve that such a, like a harsh treatment. But after that, khalas. The moment he truly shows that he wants to be a Muslim and to be part of society, he was accepted. But the point, my point is that we should people treat others according to our standard. Our standard is high. We don't betray, we don't cheat, we don't mislead. Even if the third person does not deserve that, or the other person doesn't deserve that respect. You do it because you respect yourself before you're respecting others. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala yuhajjana wa yakum min ahli mahasin al-akhlaq. Sallallahu alayhi wa sallam ala nabiyyina Muhammad.